our recommendation is that we would approach this in the same way that district attorneys approach all kinds of evaluations of criminal cases, and that is to look at elements like the severity of the conduct, the amount of injury caused by the particular defendant, the extent to which this offense is to a greater or lesser degree intentional or not. Factors you referred to, for instance, the notion of general deterrence. We think that if the data suggests the need, perhaps even for some specific deterrence. That is, there's some evidence that there is a recidivism rate amongst some of the people dealt with administratively by the board that we think could appropriately be addressed with criminal prosecution. So I would not want you to think, Representative Hayden, that the exercise of discretion would be standardless or without logic. We'd like to think we would be able to explain to any particular defendant why this defendant was being prosecuted and another person was differently situated than this defendant. But I do take your point, and I think it's a legitimate criticism of all criminal prosecution, that we do not prosecute every person. That's a reality of the system, and it's inherent in the notion of the general deterrent to which you refer, that we rely upon really hitting a really bad guy in order to keep some other folks from getting even close to that conduct.
I'm sure. I'm not familiar with the term specific deterrence. What is that?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, to distinguish it from general deterrence, in general deterrent theory, what you're trying to do is deter other people by prosecuting a particular individual, and specific deterrent would be to keep this person from doing it again.
Putting in the stockade.
Representative Butler suggested like cutting off your thumbs, but I don't think so.
Madam Chair, that was not part of our recommendation in the report, despite what you might have heard about it.
Has anyone considered I assume that part of the problem with House Bill 2322, and I have not heard of it, and I have not heard any testimony about it, but it might be weighted down with a whole bunch of things. Has anybody just thought of having just an outright repeal of the ORS 701?
Madam Chair,
and have that stand alone in a bill?
I would recommend that to the Assembly at least. We think that there's ample room for something in between that, which would essentially be a reaffirmation of the status quo and no other change, and what we've recommended, which, as I acknowledged, is probably not going to happen. And we would hope that this process will be an opportunity to have those kind of discussions with the CCB.
What do the -3 amendments do as far as House Bill 2322. What are they?
Madam Chair, the -3 amendments do the three things I've mentioned from our report, namely creating the centralized criminal investigative and prosecution unit, though it does not, of course, have any funding associated with it, but it directs that. They call for the adoption of specific terms in consumer contracts with construction contractors. They lengthen the time allowed for consumers to file claims with the CCB from 1 year to 2 years. And in addition to that, they repealed the chapter, the statute to which we've had reference.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The -3 or the -2 or the -1 or the House Bill 2322 itself didn't just speak to a repeal of 701-290.
Madam Chair, Representative Bartlett, that's correct.
So we really don't, if we've got a dead piece of legislation with the -3 amendments that no one agrees to, then that bill could still be used to go back and refer to 701-290 and just repeal it, as far as you know.
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, yes, the relating clause in that bill is sufficiently broad to cover the repeal of that statute, I believe.
Sometimes when you want something done, it's best to take one at a time. I would suggest that if somebody's interested in that, that might be what they'd want to do with this bill. Thank you, Mr. Shepard, and we appreciated your testimony. Like I said, we certainly appreciate your written testimony as well. At this point, I am going to close the public hearing on Bill 5532, and we'll open a public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 63. And if there's anyone who wishes to testify on that bill, our sign-up slip is on the end of the table. Please sign up if you'd like to testify.
members crawl onto the sign-up ship, huh?
Sign-up ship, yes.
Get on board the sign-up ship.
Is this Friday or Monday? And while they're signing up, I'll pass out, okay? I think whoever signed up first probably knows who they are. Would you come forward, since we want to leave the list there for now?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Commissioner Tony Hyde from Columbia County, and I'm here today to talk about Senate Bill 63. And I'll try to be brief. I know you have a long agenda to get through, so I just want to speak to the merit of the bill itself. I am the chair of the statewide committee that's looking at the disaster relief bill. This bill puts the state of Oregon in a position to access federal funds in the event of a catastrophic event, and that's very specific to that one issue. We are one of six states left in the union that does not have a disaster relief fund, so it's very critical for the state of Oregon to get on board. I do know that in the disaster that we had in the flood of 96, that this state left millions of dollars on the table because the local communities lacked the capacity to access the 25% match that was required by FEMA for federal assistance. That's why it's there, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have with the bill.
Thank you, Tony. I remember when you appeared before us on the General Government Transportation Committee, and I was just looking back to reflect. The record shows that in the committee we all supported this creation of this fund, and I appreciate you coming here today. Sorry we have to keep having you come back every
That's
time you
right.
appear somewhere else, but appreciate you coming here. Representative Johnson?
Madam Chair, I know that the bill as it's currently written creates a fund and funds that fund with a dollar. Tell me, Commissioner Hyde, what would happen if the fund isn't created and no money is appropriated?
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, thanks for the question. I understand that there is an amendment out there that would take away the fund outside of the $2.5 million that's in there from the Special Public Works Fund, but takes away the line item and the dollar that allows us the capability to go to the e-board. And I want to say on record and make it very clear that we're not establishing this fund like a lot of other bills that come about so that we can come back in the next session and ask for money to be put into the fund. The fund was there simply to give us the capacity, one, the capacity to go to the e-board in the event of a catastrophic event. And I would simply say, from a funding standpoint, if you had a catastrophic event that would wipe out schools, would wipe out roads, would wipe out health care facilities and court facilities, all of a sudden funding court facilities and schools and roads and health care becomes less important than getting something to fund. And that's when you really need to go to the e-board. I've seen this happen. In the flood of 96, this happened. I took my kids that had no school and took them to their aunt in the Dalles and allowed them to go to school there because there was no facility. So all the funding for schools in the world wouldn't have mattered. There was no school. So what I'm saying is that fund only was established in the bill to give us the capacity to go to the e-board in the event of a catastrophic event. It was not something that we intended to pad later.
I'm very delighted to have that clarification. And two things. It might be useful for you to briefly explain what motivates your personal interest in this, your service as mayor of Renonia, and the devastating effects that wreaked havoc in Renonia as a result of the floods. I mean, so you know from where you speak in this issue. The other thing that I'd like you to amplify, if you wouldn't mind, is how the process would work. Let's assume that you were allowed to go to the e-board. Are there sufficient time lags absent this fund and dollar at the state level that would make it impossible to seek federal disaster assistance for towns like Renonia?
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, we've been doing some huddling this morning trying to figure that out. And if I could get some clarification from this committee with respect to the fund that's there with the Special Public Works, then I could have a little more of a comfort level about removing the other fund. And what I'd like to hear is that with the Special Public Works Fund, and that is only lottery dollars currently at $2.5 million in grants and loans beyond that. But if I could hear from somebody in the Ways and Means say that that fund would have the capacity then to go to the e-board in the event of a catastrophic event, I wouldn't much care about the other fund.
Madam Chair, I think Commissioner Hyde has asked a very reasonable question looking to bring some relief to the counties that depend very heavily on the ability to access this federal money. I had specifically asked someone from Oregon Economic Development, to be here to speak about the ability to access OEDD money in the case of a statewide disaster. Would it be possible for the OEDD folks to join Commissioner Hyde?
Yes, let's go ahead and do that. Come on up, please.
And then I think, Commissioner Hyde, you're asking for some level of reassurance that absent the fund and any funding in the fund, could you find reassurance from the legislature that you still had an access open to the e-board to come in the case of disaster that would satisfy your concerns?
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, if I could just make two points. The first point is, once again, there was the e-board issue, and there's also the issue of local capacity. We, in both the statewide committee, which includes the League of Oregon Cities, and the Association of Oregon Counties, have been very busy trying to identify revenue streams now. It comes out of our own money or new revenue streams, for instance, from ambulance service surcharge or insurance service surcharge, those kinds of funds that we would want a segue, a place to put that money. But we don't want to find state money. We want to find our own money. We even talked about taking a portion, a half a percent, if you will, of our transportation money and putting that aside so that we could build this fund. So that's the second piece of the reason that we needed that fund, and we've had that conversation with OECDD to see if we could then use that $2.5 million, or at least that capacity to do that. And so that's the other thing I just wanted to say. It's important.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Betty Pongrass, and I'm the manager of program development for the Economic and Community Development Department. I'll just give you the Reader's Digest version of the Special Public Works Fund. It's a program administered by the department that makes loans and grants to local governments in two areas: infrastructure, which is defined as water, wastewater, roads, port facilities, airport facilities, and two, community facilities, which are generally buildings owned by local governments. Currently, the infrastructure part of the program is limited to infrastructure that assists in industrial or commercial development. It's an economic development tool, in other words, to assist with industrial or commercial development by the private sector. This bill, Senate Bill 63, would allow disaster relief as an additional eligible basis for making a loan or a grant from the program. So the industrial or commercial tie would be dropped, and the eligibility would be matching federal disaster relief funds. Community facilities are not limited by the industrial commercial tie. So the disaster relief for community facilities would be eligible under the program. The amendments, not the amendments, they used to be amendments. The bill itself now would allow grants of up to $2.5 million for disaster relief. It would allow loans as far as the Special Public Works Fund could make loans. We have the ability to sell state revenue bonds under the Special Public Works Fund and loan the bond proceeds to local governments. So I wouldn't say it's unlimited, but there is hundreds of millions of dollars of ability to make loans under the Special Public Works Fund.
Thank you.
If I could add one thing, also the department has a community development fund that would allow the emergency board to allocate funds to that community development fund, which is a broader fund that then could deposit those emergency board funds, whatever source they are, into the Special Public Works Funds for additional disaster relief. I think that's the fund that you might be looking for.
Madam Chair. It seems with the broad statutory powers that your department possesses and the flexibility inside your department, would there be any prohibition on the establishment of a fund inside OECDD and funding it with a very modest amount of money so that could stand as a demonstration to the federal government that Oregon did in fact have a fund that was titled appropriately and could also perhaps be the recipient of other monies coming from the counties to be held in account, because I know there's a deductible involved in these FEMA funds. Is there any prohibition to OEDD creating such a fund?
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, I don't believe that there is a prohibition. Within the Community Development Fund, we can create an account that would be, in effect, a disaster relief account that could accept monies from miscellaneous revenues from counties, from private donors, from the legislature, from the federal government. The Special Public Works Fund, by statute, is limited only to appropriations from the legislature. It could not currently accept monies from counties or from the federal government, but the Community Development Fund could.
Madam Chair, follow.
Johnson.
What I'm trying to get at is, in the testimony that we received, or the written material, in anticipation of the hearing, it talked about Oregon being one of six or four states that does not have a clearly articulated fund, and I think that was the intent of Senate Bill 63. I'm trying to ascertain, and I don't know whether you know the answer to this, or Commissioner Hyde, or perhaps a representative from the counties, Association of Oregon Counties, whether or not a mechanism as amorphous as you just laid out is sufficient to meet FEMA's requirements, or whether or not you have to have a fund that's actually titled Oregon's Emergency Disaster, that it have money in it, even a modest amount like a dollar. I'm trying to see if the solution, if we already have this problem solved by there being a fund created at Oregon Economic and Community Development, and making the requirements of Senate Bill 63 not necessary. And I don't know whether it's sufficient to address FEMA and have Oregon then join the 44 other states that have such a fund if we created it inside OEDD.
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, even with the amendments, I still feel that Senate Bill 63 would be vital. And I would call your attention to Section 7 that says, Special Public Works Fund to provide local matching funds to a municipality for infrastructure projects to which available federal disaster relief assistance is committed. It's very specific to disaster relief. And that's why I tell the story about how a collection of affected representatives met with FEMA back in 96 trying to get some relief from the 25% match, and their comment was, if the state of Oregon refuses to help you, why should we? We met all the requirements for reducing the match from 25 to 10%. But with the absence of a bill that specifically says disaster relief assistance, I concern myself
But if the bill goes forward without the disaster relief fund and without the dollar, you don't then have sufficient comfort to know that you would be eligible, do you?
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, I think I do.
Okay.
Because I looked at the amendments, and Section 7 is still there. It has a new section number, but it's still there.
Great.
Thank you both for your testimony.
And can I ask
a question?
Sorry,
Senator.
Well, I thought I understood this until I started looking at the bill. The fund is created in the Treasury, and OEDD puts money into it, but it's managed by emergency management? Is that?
Madam Chair, Senator Duke, the bill discusses two separate funds, a disaster relief fund that would be administered by Office of Emergency Management, and a second fund, the Special Public Works Fund, which is administered by Economic and Community Development. The amendments that were brought up this morning would eliminate the disaster relief fund at Office of Emergency Management and just leave the Special Public Works Fund. I believe that's correct.
And from your agency's perspective, that's fine. You don't care because you still have your funds.
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, that's correct.
Hyde, you'd like to keep both of them?
Madam Chair, Representative Dukes, or Senator Dukes, I'm sorry. I'm in an awkward position. I'm certainly hate to acquiesce when I've worked so hard on a bill. But on the other hand, we had a lengthy discussion just before this meeting, and I'm feeling fairly comfortable that, this may be more cumbersome than it needs to be as written. And that maybe we could, if we had clear assurance that we could go to the E-Board through this, that we'd be okay.
You only get to the E-Board through the agency.
Okay, thank you both. Representative Johnson.
I just want to follow on the path that Senator Dukes just started on. You only get to the E-Board through the agency. What's your assurance from the agency that that permission will be granted or that that avenue will be available? Maybe that's a question to you.
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, I'm not quite sure how to answer that.
Could you memorialize in writing the discussions that occurred here and have that available to the counties, that given the intent of Senate Bill 63 and the desire of the counties to access the E-Board through your agency, that the agency would cause that to be a standing pathway to the E-Board? I think a letter would suffice. I don't know.
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, yes, I believe we could do that.
Is that acceptable to you, Commissioner?
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, that would be much better if we had something memorialized.
Madam Chair, for the benefit of getting multiple way clarification, I see Art Schlack from the Association of Oregon.
He is signed up next.
Oh, lovely.
Get to him. Mm-hmm. Thank you both very much.
Madam Chair, just one item, and that is in regard to, let me, particularly Betty, but Tony, I'm a little bit concerned with memorialization. The memorialization of bringing OEDD, OECDD, to the board, to the table. I mean, we're looking at the dash 4A and A4 amendments to put $1 into this. And the question is, I mean, we have to strengthen that to get the $1 put in. What kind of a memorialization are we talking about with the OECDD to bring you folks on board, that we're not dancing through the hoops that we have talked about in the OECDD committee earlier this week, that would basically cause a person to go blind with paperwork? That would be my concern.
I'm thinking of something as simple as a letter, just memorializing the conversation that occurred in the room right behind us, And is all it would say is that in recognition of the intent of SB 63 and in order to aid the counties, that it is the intention of the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department to be the conduit for the counties to approach the E-Board to access federal money in the time of natural disaster.
Signed by the director,
or words to that effect.
Yeah.
And Mr. Schlack carries that in his pocket, and Commissioner Hyde keeps that on his bedside table, and everybody knows that's the promise that was made.
Madam Chair, the question I have then is, with the E-Board meeting every few months, if you do not get an affirmative decision, if a stack of paperwork hasn't
letter includes a minimal amount of paperwork.
Oh, I see. This is about asking 1 inch as opposed to 4 inches.
Yeah, something like that.
Representative Butler, you're also headed in a direction that I queried Commissioner Hyde about earlier today. The disaster happens in January, or that's a bad month. The disaster happens in month X, and the E-Board doesn't meet until month Y. What happens in that intervening period of time?
Mm-hmm.
And Commissioner Hyde, would you share how you answered that question for me with the rest of the committee? Because I wanted to make sure counties were not deprived of access to federal funds.
Just reminded me, Representative Johnson, if that happened, we would call an emergency board emergency meeting.
I mean, there is a novel concept. Yes, either that, or if it's a serious enough emergency, we would probably have a special session of the legislature. So, you know, if we're talking a significant disaster for the significant portion of the state.
Betty, couldn't you, given this, wouldn't you be able to access the special public works funds for the emergency just to do it without having channeled it through a special fund or something? Tillamook was the worst hit. If we have another 96 flood and Tillamook comes forward and says, can't get there from here, we need help. With this, saying that you can go beyond the industrial properties, you would be able to facilitate a loan of special public works funds to Tillamook County to help them meet their needs, right?
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, yes, you're correct.
Okay.
We would, the special public works fund would be available immediately, and it would be these other monies from the emergency board that would come as quickly as possible, but the special public works fund would be available as long as it still exists, which we assume it will.
In the first month, that's really what you need,
mm-hmm.
is something to get the planning done and get the debris cleaned up and get moving.
Let me put a finer point on Senator Duke's question. Special public works would be available to help agriculture? Because in her Tillamook example, you've got the county needing to help dairy farmers who have
no feed for their cattle.
Yeah, or
we worked that out. We grazed them on the right of way on the highway.
Yes, that wasn't covered up. And I also would say that a lot of Eastern Oregon farmers
strange, but it
was hay and brought it over.
But the point I'm trying to make is that it would transcend special public works as we traditionally think of that, and it would allow the counties to help specifically agriculture.
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, that's a very good question, and my answer a few minutes ago really dealt with local governments, because the Special Public Works Fund can only make awards to local governments for publicly owned either infrastructure or community facilities. So any money for other purposes, especially to private sector, would have to go through another vehicle, potentially through that Community Development Fund, that route. But the Special Public Works Fund is limited to publicly owned facilities.
I just don't want to find out that we use your money with a certain title on it and find out that we're tying counties' hands as the money flows through to them and to both leverage the federal dollar and to respond locally. I just want to make sure there aren't such severe sideboards on it that it can't be used widely.
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, I would ask the counties to correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe the intent of the legislation was to help with publicly owned, county-owned, city-owned facilities with disaster relief.
Right, maybe I'm taking it too far then, and I'm happy to back away.
Okay.
Madam Chair, thank you. I want to make sure that I understand what Debbie's saying. The Special Public Works money is available immediately, was one comment. But then the Special Public Works are also loans. Those are bond. Those are bond monies. When you say immediately, how long does it take to sell a bond? When we talk about an immediate amount of money that's available, pot of money that's available, really that's no more than just access to the ability to go out and start selling bonds when you can get a bond prospectus prepared and get through bond counsel and so forth. Is it not, or am I missing something there? When you say immediately, I need to know how immediately is immediately.
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, the Special Public Works Fund has a variety of funding sources in it, one of which is bonds. And we do sell bonds once a year, twice a year, three times a year, depending on demand. We also have loan repayments from prior loans from the loan portfolio, and we have the lottery bonds that the state sells and are deposited into the Special Public Works Fund. So we can use those funds. We would use those funds to make awards to local governments, and we also have the ability to interim finance with other funds and then go out and sell bonds. So we have a variety of ways of getting the money out quickly.
Madam Chair, I think that if we're after a comfort letter in this process, I'd like to have it understood, you know, what immediately means, and and then the accessing, and it's really necessary. It's my understanding that Senate Bill 63, as they engross, is really necessary to gain the access to the special public works bonds or funds, that fund itself, whether it be bonding, grants, loans, or whatever.
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, Senate Bill 63 is necessary for disaster projects that are of a disaster nature that aren't, where the project is not tied to industrial development, or in order to be eligible for the fund, if it was, let's just say, a road in the middle of a county somewhere that washed out that didn't have industrial or commercial development tied to it, we would not be able to fund it out of the Special Public Works Fund. That's why the bill is necessary.
Chair, could I make a recommendation to the chair of the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee? If it's the intent of this committee to approve Senate Bill 63 as amended, one way that we could address the issue of what the expectations are for the Economic and Community Development Department would be to put a budget note in their budget that memorializes the intent of this committee related to Senate Bill 63.
And I would just say that I have two more people signed up to testify, Mr. Scott Porter from the Emergency Management Association and Art from the Oregon Association of Oregon Counties. And with the time frame, would the committee like to go ahead and hear that testimony? Would you like to discuss more where we're at, or what would you like to do?
My question is probably relative to the one question I had. Is probably answerable immediately by staff and directed to Mr. Porter's testimony, and that is the staff management summary, which we have on this. Says the governmental unit affected is the Oregon State Police. Is that where the Office of Emergency Management is vested?
Yes, yes, Mr. Chair. The fiscal impact that you see is on the AN Gross version, which has the dollar, which goes into the Office of Emergency Management, which is in the Oregon State Police.
Is that on the back? The AMGROS version?
Yeah, he's looking at the fiscal impact.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
And that.
Really right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, Betty pointed out an important thing, and that's that under their existing, and I'm not sure, is it administrative rule or statute that limits what kinds of properties that you can loan this money on.
Madam Chair, Senator Duke, it's statutory.
It is statutory. The only thing this bill grants them all by itself without a fund is that they can put money into projects to which available federal disaster relief assistance is committed, which is a fairly high standard. I know that during the 96 floods, getting those commitments took months, especially on roads, which is one of the examples you just gave. There was FEMA sent people out, and there was a negotiation process over roads. And I'm sure there was over a whole lot of other pieces to it. So if we're expecting that when an emergency hits that you will be able to put money automatically in because you have a fund that we're wanting to tap, the standard is pretty high before you would be able to on your own without a fund, without a separate fund with money in it, be able to tap into your rural infrastructure.
Madam Chair, Senator Deuce, maybe I can give you an on-the-ground practitioner's standpoint of how this works. When you have a disaster, as a mayor of a town that suffered some significant damage, we didn't care where the money was coming from at that point. We just got it done. Once we were whole, or not whole, but functional again, then we started looking for the money to replace what we had spent. So the immediate money is not as important as at least in knowledge and knowing that there's a fund to go after to replace what we've spent, which is usually your cash carryover that you have in your budget that's not spendable. But in the disaster, you do what you have to do, and then you go find the money to replace what you've spent. So the immediacy of the money is not as important as knowing that the fund is there to replace it.
I'm actually trying to make the case for both of the funds, and the notion that we are operating under, that we can get a letter signed and the agency will move money in right away, may, under this language, may not be a practical one.
Madam Chair, if I could, one more point of clarification.
To help folks who lose everything. I mean,
it is my task to, as chair of the committee, to represent more than just counties. And when we talked about memorializing, I only heard counties mentioned, but it's all local governments that need to be mentioned in that memorialization.
Thank you very much. And at this time, we've got just a few minutes left of the committee, and I hate to cut anybody short, but you are signed up, and so I'd like to have you come forward, Art Schlack from Association of Oregon Counties, and Scott Porter, if you would come up as well from the, you are the president of the Oregon Emergency Management Association. And Art, if you would go ahead, recognizing that we are short of time, and Scott, when you do your presentation, we appreciate your written testimony.
Yes, I will read it.
You'll just kind of brief us on that rather than read it. But go ahead, Art, please.
Chair Carno and members of the committee, my name is Art Schlack. I'm with the Association of Oregon Counties. And I'm going to be very brief at this point in deference to time and the fact that you've heard much about Senate Bill 63. It is designed to assist local governments in securing federal funding in case of disasters through FEMA, the 25% match in primarily. And it is designed to address public infrastructure needs at this point. It is not designed to assist private property owners at this point. It deals with all would deal with all municipalities at this point, cities, counties, ports, the like, to deal with the public infrastructure questions that are damaged during a disaster at this point. Initially, it had two pieces, a left pocket and a right pocket. The left pocket was the special public works fund that's in economic development. The right pocket was a disaster relief fund, knowing that it was enabling legislation so that we could look at securing additional funding in the future. And we were looking, as Commissioner Hyde said, city and county resources, as well as maybe new funding streams. But again, all funding streams is a potential at this point. So it was an enabling and a place to start, recognizing that for at least three bienniums at this point, this issue has come before the legislature, and we haven't even been able to take the initial step. And we get reminded every once in a while that a disaster can gift us at any time at this point, and we need to be able to respond to those. That's the background of the bill. That's why it's needed. There's been a lot of discussion about the proposed amendment. We just need the assurance that we are in a position to be able to address these disasters in a meaningful way and to respond to those needs of local government at this point. And so I appreciate your interest, Chair Farno, and the interest of all the members of the committee in this issue, and we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Art. Any questions? Mr. Porter, would you go ahead with your testimony and what you'd like to share with us from...
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. You do have my written statement. I won't bother reading that to you. I am the president of the Oregon Emergency Management Association, which is an association of individuals with an interest in emergency management in the state of Oregon. And we have been before the legislature for several years to try and get similar legislation passed, actually more comprehensive legislation than Senate Bill 63 addresses. And we have basically gotten nowhere. And through partnership with AOC this year, we're making a better attempt at focusing our needs on a Disaster Relief Act. I think the need for the act is fairly clear. Maybe just draw attention to the one thing that I think is being lost through possible deletion of the disaster relief fund from OEM. The Special Public Works Fund is only available to meet the 25% match, federal match. So in order to get to that level, you must have a federal declaration. You must have a presidential declaration. The other fund that was going to be created in OEM did not carry with it that same string. It was going to be available to local governments for an event that did not rise to the level of a presidential declaration. So if you had a $4 million event in a small community that didn't rise to the level of a presidential declaration, the money in this separate fund would have been available, could have been available to that local government as a matching fund from the state as opposed to the federal government to match local funds to help that that community recover. So that there is one loss there that is going to go unanswered, I think, if that fund is deleted. We strongly support the retention of at least the Special Public Works Fund, and do believe there's a lot of flexibility that we've become aware of through economic development to do other things that were not contemplated necessarily in the original draft of the bill. But I just go on record as saying that we strongly support the passage of Senate Bill 63. We'd like to see both funds still retained. Again, I think there is a loss of some capacity there that won't be addressed if you delete the fund from OEM. But we're still very strongly in favor of the Special Public Works Fund and the links to OECD.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony, and thank you for the written testimony and for being brief. I appreciate that and regret having to shorten your time. Any other questions, these gentlemen?
Thank you.
Since the House is already in session, I think what we'll do is we will... close the public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 63, and then I would like to have Senator Dukes, do you want to be a little subcommittee to work on proposed language we talked about?
Sure, I think we just took care of the pawnbroker, so I got off the town on my
hands. Oh, she did that to pawn the watch.
I
every time she comes back in the room.
That's a beautiful ring.
The Representative Butler has been leaning over watching it ever since we learned about that pawn shop the other day.
And Representative Butler and Representative Johnson, if you would work on the language and what we might need to do to get Senate Bill 63 moved. It will be on tomorrow's agenda, and if we need to add an amendment, or not an amendment, if we need to add a budget note in economic development's budget, I would appreciate it if you'd have that so that perhaps we can get that as part of their budget.
Sure. Madam Chair, before we even go into that work group, I'd like to give my bias. I live in a county which during the 96 flood you couldn't get anywhere from. And I represent a couple more at the same situation. Commissioner Hyde was mayor of a city that you couldn't get anywhere from anywhere. Getting across town was a challenge, and I think Representative Johnson may have flown folks in and out of that little community because they were truly, completely, and totally isolated for a while. And so it's my bias is I liked what emergency management had to say. When I suddenly was aware, it's not just... when the city of Portland needs a seawall and they've got thousands of people to show up to help,
Sometimes it's a little fire district that can't get the trucks out the door anymore, and or whose fire thing, you know, hall just blew down in the windstorm. And if we're going to say that only some governments will benefit from this and only some locations will benefit of this because we're only creating one fund, I have real heartburn with that. I mean, we all pulled together statewide when that happened, but even at that, it was a year before some of these folks were able to get. I mean, when you've seen dead cows floating around and literally cows tied to fence posts on the right-of-way, because those are the kinds of solutions you have to be able to come up with, and limiting them in this situation when all we're asking for is a dollar doesn't seem. So that's the, doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So that's the bias I'm going in with.
Well, let's see if the work group can come up with some suggestions before tomorrow. And we will carry Senate Bill 5507 and 5532 over till tomorrow as well to finish the hearings on construction contractors board and hopefully the work session on Senate Bill 5507. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you.